Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
I have with me today Dora M. Peñagaricano, a lawyer at the McConnell Valdez firm, where I worked for many years. She's a member of the litigation department, a capital member, and specializes in trademarks and copyrights, as well as other areas in the litigation area. I've always been very impressed with Dora. She is a very effective lawyer. I give this course at the University of Puerto Rico called The Effective Lawyer Beyond Legal Expertise, and Dora fits that to a T. She has the legal expertise in specific areas, studying in the States, going to seminars, and she is the two attributes that I always speak about, responsive, being really listening and responding and taking care with a lot of empathy and attachment to the clients, and then being persuasive. You know, once you know the problem, you then have to be persuasive all the way across the board with your client and with the other side and with the court or whatever, whoever you're negotiating with. So, Dora, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jorge. Thank you for your kind words and thank you for your invitation.
Last few days, there's been a lot of information coming out on this case by Romero Brito that you filed in the federal court. What does the case involve?
Jorge, this is a civil lawsuit that we filed in the name of Romero Brito and the company called Giftcraft, who makes the Brito products, against like approximately 200 local retailers and wholesalers for selling counterfeit Brito products. It's a copyright and trademark infringement case.
How many, you know, you say copyright infringement, what is the exposure by these defendants, given the claim that is being made?
Well, the copyright laws specifically provide for statutory damages. That means that the law already establishes the penalty, to call it that way, against the people that sell counterfeit items and copyright infringement items. And the penalties range from $1,000 to $150,000 per violation, technically per each purse or wallet or any other item that they sold that is a counterfeit Brito product.
And this is a civil action.
Ours is a civil action because we file it on behalf of our clients, but the selling counterfeit items, it's also a criminal violation. There is a penal law that prohibits the selling of counterfeit items, and that entails jail and many other criminal repercussions. And the Attorney General here can file charges, criminal charges, against all the defendants in this case.
So this is a serious matter for the people who are defendants in
this
case.
Yes, this is a very serious matter.
Is lack of knowledge, you know, good faith, a defense in this matter, that you really bought this, not knowing that there was a violation?
Well, that is a good question, but the judge in this case, Judge Helpi, clearly told everybody during the hearing that we had on September 15, you know, almost 110 people were there, 110 persons, you know, from the defendants were there. And the judge clearly told them, lack of knowledge, I didn't know this was a counterfeit item, it's not a defense. You can tell us that you didn't know and the reasons why you didn't know, and that could be, it will help you in the negotiations, but before the law and before the case, it is not a defense. It's an ay bendito, and it could lower your penalty if it is completely true that you had no idea whatsoever that what you were buying is a counterfeit item. But technically, before the law, it's not a defense.
Okay. And those people who have not been sued yet and have these products, is there anything that they should or can do at this stage, or just wait for the guillotine to follow and cutting their necks?
Well, as the judge also told them, everybody that has counterfeit items with them right now that they are not part of the complaint, they should call us and voluntarily surrender these items. Tell us, look, I have these 20 purses, wallets, caps, t-shirts, whatever that they have, and they don't have to tell me that. Look, I have these items and we would like to voluntarily surrender them, and so you can take a better position with us since we're voluntarily coming forward with this information. Also the defendants, the judge also told them, if you have items that have not been surrendered or provided to us, the plaintiffs, do that and call us and try to reach an agreement, and it will be better than just having the judge establish the amount.
Okay, I'm sure our listeners, we're very sophisticated listeners at Radio Oso, are not in this group of people that done this. But I want from this particular case to bring on two lessons that hopefully will be helpful to our listeners. And there's two sides of this. First, the business person who has a slogan, has a trademark, has a logo that they want to protect. And then the other side of the coin, we'll discuss both of them, is then the person who's buying products and wants to make sure that they do not get into the same kind of situation. So let's first start off with the person who has a slogan, has a logo, has a trademark, and they want to protect it. What should they do, and why is it important that they take certain steps that you would recommend?
Well, first, I would like to clarify that in this case, there are there are like five defendants that are, as you characterize them, you know, sophisticated store owners. I think we have various chains, you know, very renowned names, you know, stores that are defendant in this case. The judge was really mad with them that because he said that they should have known better. So there are sophisticated.
There could be some Radio Oso listeners.
There could be some Radio Oso listeners that are defendants in this case. We were very surprised with that too, as it was the judge. But answering your question with respect to the companies or the persons that have trademarks, copyrights, logo, and everything, definitely, they should register those trademarks, those copyrights, those designs, those logos. As a matter of fact, if under copyright, if you don't have the designs or the logos registered and someone copies them, you cannot file the complaint. Period. You cannot do it. You have to, at that moment, start filing the copyrights, the designs, the different items that you have, obtain the registration, which will take like 6 months in order to do that, and then file the complaint. Imagine in a situation like this one that you have to wait 6 more months or 8 more months in order to get your logos and your designs registered in order to file the complaint. With respect to trademarks, you can file the complaint without having them registered. But for example, if you have them registered in Puerto Rico, you have statutory damages. The law establishes that amount that you are entitled to receive as compensation for your damage, and you don't have to prove what damages you suffer because someone else was infringing on your trademark. So about the lessons, with respect to the owners of the intellectual property, trademarks, copyrights, and everything, you have to. It is highly recommended that you register them with the different registries. There are various registries.
Okay. Is the registration process complicated, expensive?
No, it is not. There is the trademarks registry in Puerto Rico. That's where you register the marks that you have here in Puerto Rico. It is, once you provide the information that we need to prepare the application, like your name, address, what is your mark, where do you use that mark, if it's for a product, for a service, for different types of products, different services, you know, there are many categories in which you register your mark, different classes, they are called classes. So once you provide all of that and a specimen, you know, a picture, a label or something that is required to be filed, we prepare the application and it is filed. The cost ranges around $750, and that includes the filing fees, the publication costs, the affidavits, the sworn statements. You know, there are many things that are required, so everything is covered by that application. In the United States, that's where you register your logos, your designs, your artwork. That is in the Copyright Office. It is in Washington, D.C., but you don't have to go there. We don't have to go there. The filing is done online by computer. Once you provide everything to us, the specimens and the designs and everything, with the same information, more or less, that it was required for a trademark, except that this one you need to indicate when you created that design or their logo. It is filed online, and eventually, you know, as I mentioned, like 6 months afterwards or more or less, you will receive your registration.
Okay, I need to take a break, so we'll be right back. We'll finalize what you have to do beyond the United States, and then we take the other side of the coin. Okay.
Perfect.
Right.